You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 31st of May. A massive show today. We'll look at all of the players in the Jazz range in the draft and what they look at numbers-wise. Then, Pascal Siakam and Draymond Green. What happens if we ran them through the numbers? What would have we found? Plus a few thoughts on last night's NBA Finals game. It's a good one. It's coming up next on Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and making it more fun for you to be a Jazz fan every day, keeping informed in the offseason, because there's no offseason for a true Jazz fan. Today's podcast is available for you on the brand new Himalaya app. Hope you enjoy that. Curated playlists. You can do all sorts of fun things yourself. With that, I've made a whole NBA draft list that I have to catch up on. Also available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. And just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Jazz. All right. Yesterday on our live show, we got a great question of what would have Donovan Mitchell looked like in the numbers. So I thought we'd do that with Pascal Siakam and Draymond Green. If you've not caught up on the show this week, we've been going through NBA draft prospects and looking just at the numbers. I haven't watched any of them yet, so I don't know anything about them. It's been fun to like text some scouts and things like that around the league and say, hey, this is what my numbers are saying. I have my new favorite. I don't think he'll be in our range, but I do have... I think I have about 14 players highlighted that are going to be in the Jazz range, and we'll look at those guys today. I apologize for doing the show daily. Our daughter at dinner last night, who's just started into podcasts, there's some YouTube group that's doing a podcast, said at dinner last night, oh my gosh, I'm so stressed. I'm so behind on my podcast. I'm three episodes back. I can't believe it's so hard to listen to a daily podcast. And I was like, oh, maybe I should apologize to listening on it. It's got a good chuckle in the house, though. All right, let's get right to it. Last night's game, quickly, really, for at least one day, I was right. A lot of what we talked about yesterday on the program, the better transition team is the Raptors. The Warriors' weakness is transition defense. Doris Burke reported that Steve Kerr went off on him. All we've worked out for 4 days is transition defense. You're not doing it. I think it's hard to catch up to the speed of the NBA game after being off 9 days. So I think that really hurt the Warriors. They have just a flood of people they can send at Klay Thompson, and until Durant is back, Klay Thompson is the key. Steph's going to do what Steph does, but if you can keep Klay Thompson off his game, then it gets hard for them to get enough other scoring. And if Iguodala actually did get hurt at the end of the game last night, this is going to be, I think the Warriors are in serious jeopardy of losing the series. I thought the Raptors could win it for the beginning, but even more so when last night went as anticipated. I don't think Pascal Siakam has that game, but I don't think a bunch of other guys do on the negative side either. All right, let's go. Let's play. I've pulled up the sheets. I have not looked at the numbers. I thought it'd be fun to do it with you. If you're new to it, I've broken all the numbers, offensive numbers, into four categories. So there's athleticism, and that's transition, what you do in transition and what you do in isolation. That tells me whether you got a first step, body control, ability to finish, playmaking, playing with the ball in your hand, or as a big man rolling to the basket. Shooting, obvious, spot-up percentage, catch and shoot. And then creating is your ability to get a look off the bounce. It could probably go into athleticism, but it's at least worth noting. So Zion Williamson is 92nd percentile in transition. For all college players, 86th percentile in isolation. He's just a world-class athlete. Pick-and-roll ball handler. He's the best there was in only 22 attempts, but the best there was. His shooting's pretty average. 96 spot-up attempts, he was in the 47th percentile. His catch-and-shoot, he was just 19 of 58, 44th percentile. His unguarded catch-and-shoot percentile is in the 15th percentile, and he can't do anything off the bounce. Shooting, he's 2 of 12 last year, 3rd percentile. So there's some concern, you know, some flaws there. He's not perfect. But that's just an example of one guy. So let's look and see. Draymond Green in transition was only in the 49th percentile. So he did not look like an elite athlete. And his isolation was in the 82nd percentile. So that showed some ability there, probably his ability to back in. And he's not actually, frankly, an elite athlete. He had 34 possessions as a pick and roll man guy and 20 possessions as a pick and roll ball handler. He wasn't good at either of them. 24 percentile as pick and roll man, 13 percentile as pick and roll handler. He made his living posting up 23% of the time as a college player. So you're really having to look at him in some other capacity. His shooting, his spot up shooting, he was in the 79th percentile. His catch and shoot game was in the 60th percentile, both guarded and unguarded, pretty good. And his off the bounce jumper was in the 78th percentile. So you can see some things here where you could look at that and say, all right, wait a sec, what's going on here? So he's not an elite athlete. He can both play with the ball in his hands and as the pick and roll man. He can get his shot off the bounce. 144 catch and shoots, 33 off the bounce shots. There's something there, and if you're looking back at the college Draymond Green, but nothing that jumps out in any huge manner. Pascal Siakam, you looked at in transition, 84th percentile. So elite athlete in transition, and then isolation, 71st percentile. So he checked both the baskets for elite athleticism, which, that has turned out to be true. From a pick-and-roll standpoint, he played with the ball in his hands almost none, and he was the pick-and-roll man 33 times. He was not good at it, 21 percentile below average. His spot-up shooting, he just almost did none of it, but he was good. He was in the 76th percentile shooting. He only had 50 spot-up shots. He, again, is another guy who did almost all of his work as a post-up guy. 211, 32% of his possessions were post-up. Then he got stuff off the cut and off the offensive rebound. So you had to look at Pascal Siakam and try to envision him as a completely different player. His catch-and-shoot game was terrible. He was in the 28th percentile. And there it is again, that off the bounce, only 22 chances, but he was very good at it when he needed to. So I don't know how that will translate for us moving forward, looking at players, but it's at least a little interesting that some of those things kind of, there's a parallel to that of heavy post-up guy who hadn't used that. I don't know whether I would have suddenly looked at some of these other players differently. Maybe we'll scan slightly differently on how we look at them as we continue here. All right, we're going to dig in deep to as many as I can get through. I've got 13, 14, 15 players who I've done the numbers on, and I want to roll through those. But first, let me tell you about our sponsors of today's program. Super appreciative of Intercap Lending, who has sponsored today's program. Brock and the crew there have been with us now for a while. I actually did my own loan over at Intercap Lending. Super appreciate the work of Steve Carter, and he got us through it, and that's the same word we're getting from everybody who's using Intercap Lending, is that we have Steve Carter set aside for you as your guy. Steve Carter, the concept that we're using is that it's the corporate account, basically, and so that you can tell Steve Carter that you're with Locked On Jazz and you get the corporate discount, and then he'll help you through the process. They're a direct lender, so they still actually, we get our mortgage payment and still has Intercap on there. That allows them to better serve longer-term relationships, be able to get difficult loans done, whether it's low credit, self-employed, business assets, multiple properties. Give Steve a call, 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. And then, as Dave Thurman did, all I can say is Steve Carter's by far the best loan officer I've ever worked with. That's saying something because I've done my fair share of loans. He was responsive, down-to-earth person to work with, which is rare. I would recommend him to anyone. I have the highest praise. I would completely agree. Give Steve Carter a call at Intercap Lending, 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. For Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. Today's show is also brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. Fun and exciting things going on at Murdoch Chevy. You've probably seen the commercial for the new Blazer. It's rocking. Looks absolutely great. I was driving the Equinox recently. Their SUV lineup is just terrific. I mean, you know the truck lineup. The Silverado and the Colorado are just as good as they come. If you aren't aware of it, that SUV lineup is strong. You've got the new Blazer that's just absolutely gorgeous. You also have the Equinox, which I drove recently. It was smooth and fast and had a great feel to it. You could tell it was really well made. It was quiet. The the traverses, the three rows of seats, a little bigger with all the bells and whistles and all the great mirrors and different cameras around the camera. So those are the three main in the SUV lineup. Check those out. And obviously, you've got the Trax, which is a little bit the smaller one, and then the Silverado and the Colorado trucks. Stop by 90-plus years of in Utah with Chevy. That's the Murdoch family. Out in Woods Cross and in Logan, it's Murdoch Chevy. All right, let's start down the list. So we've done some of these guys, and we'll run through them quickly in case you've heard them in the previous shows. But the highest-ranking player that might be around for the Jazz is Alexander Walker out of Virginia Tech. He's 6'5". His transition percentage is incredible, 88 percentile. He's not great in isolation. So that's just kind of a mixed bag on only 28 isolation attempts. The 88th percentile in transition is a nice number. It's one of the best there is. Zion's better. Jackson Hayes of Texas is better. Brandon Clark Gonzaga is better. Kevin Porter Jr. is better. That's about Hashimura is better. Tyler Hero is better, is right around that level out of Kentucky, and his numbers peaked out to me. And an interesting one we'll talk about later, Admiral Schofield out of Tennessee senior. He might fit the Draymond Green, Pascal Siakam model. He peaked out on athleticism, but we'll get to him in a second. Pick and roll handling. Alexander Walker, Virginia Tech at 6'5", had 161 pick and rolls this year. That's a lot. Jay Morant had more. Jarrett Culver had more. Carson Edwards, who we'll talk about in a little bit, had more. And that is it. So this is, of the draftable prospects, the fourth most pick and roll. And Cameron Johnson, North Carolina, had more. And then you look at Walker. Romeo Langford had more. Not Cameron Johnson, sorry. He's in the 70th percentile of those. So of the guys who used a lot, he's about as good as they get. Jay Moran was in the 56th percentile. Kobe White was in the 52nd. Jarrett Culver was in the 63rd. And here's Alexander Walker in the 70th percentile on pick and roll. Carson Edwards is in the 73rd. So pretty impressive. And then you get to his shooting, 82nd percentile spot up, 76th percentile catch and shoot. And then off the bounce, he's good. He's middle of the pack, 53, with a lot of opportunity, 64. So this guy really looks about as good as anybody, Alexander Walker, on the from the messages, from the numbers. Cameron Johnson, another good transition percentage, 83 percentile, and pretty good in isolation. He did not pick and roll a lot. He was a pure shooter, and he's the second best shooter in the draft, 97% on both his spot up and on his catch and shoot. Elite level shooter, and not bad off the 38 attempts off the bounce. He was the 66th percentile, which is middle of the pack, but pretty good. So Cameron Johnson is your bona fide shooter. Alexander Walker's best all around. Then Grant Williams out of Tennessee, 6'7", 240. He's not great in transition, but he was good in isolation using his strength and his size, I'm assuming. He did not play with the ball in his hands at all. He was a pick and roll man, and his shooting was a little above average. His open shooting was very poor, 8 of 25, but he was surprisingly good off the bounce at 81st percentile for the junior out of Tennessee. Keldon Johnson, Kentucky freshman shooting guard, 6'6". Below average athleticism and transition, no isolation percentages, didn't play with the ball in his hands, didn't play as the role man. So he was just exclusively a shooter. He's in the 81st percentile, which is pretty good on 181 attempts. In fact, the guys that were better shooters than him on spot-ups are Kobe White out of North Carolina, Bol Bol and limited opportunities. Brandon Clark out of Gonzaga in just 46 opportunities. PJ Washington out of Kentucky is a little bit better. Alexander Walker, who we just talked about, better. Cameron Johnson, better. Rui Hashimura is better at 93 percentile. But then the only other, Admiral Schofield, who we'll talk about again, keeps popping up, and then Ty Jerome out of Virginia. But otherwise, those are the only guys better than Keldon Johnson. So he's just a shooting guard shooter, not much else to it. His off-the-bounce game, he had 35 opportunities. He was 73rd, but doesn't play with the ball in his hands. He's 6'6". He'd just be, from at least a look at the numbers, not an elite athlete, probably a, at least numbers-wise, unless there's something else to his game, like a Devin Booker or somebody who got lost in Kentucky and didn't get to play with the ball in his hands, I see a numbers-wise, Jody Meeks, Reggie Bullock. Remember, I've seen none of these players play. Carson Edwards is interesting. He was at Purdue, junior point guard, and he just had the ball a ton. So he had 128 transition opportunities, which is super high, and he only was 43rd percentile. There are not a lot of guys that are less good than that. Coby White, North Carolina. Cam Reddish, Duke, was a less good athlete in transition. Romeo Langford. Remember, Donovan was really poor when we looked it up. Taylor Horton Tucker out of Iowa State. And then Thibel out of Washington are the only guys whose athleticism numbers, and Nicholas Claxton, power forward out of Georgia, we'll touch on in a second. So that's not great. His isolation percentage is great. 121 isolation. This guy just, Carson Edwards, just knows how to score. I mean, that's clear. He's in the 89th percentile with 121 ISO attempts. Nobody had more. Only Morant and Culver had over 100. And he's better than both of them at that. His pick and roll, 262 pick and rolls. Morant was at 254. Nobody had more. He's in the 73rd percentile. Contrast this. It's interesting here. Contrast this to Morant, who had 254 pick and rolls, was in the 56th percentile. Edwards is in the 73rd percentile. Jarrett Culver had 201 pick and rolls. He's in the 63rd percentile. And Edwards is in the 73rd percentile. Alexander Walker, who had 161, who we talked about a moment ago, is in the 70th percentile. Romeo Langford is in the 90th percentile, so he's better. Otherwise, and then there's Admiral Schofield again, who keeps showing up. The senior small forward had 157. He's in the 66th percentile. So, you know, interesting to kind of keep an eye on Carson Edwards here, just a ton of pick and roll, and he's better than the other high-volume pick and roll players almost universally. His shooting is good. Spot up is in the 75th percentile, 104 attempts. His catch and shoots only average 59%, and is 61% unguarded. Off the bounce game, 71st percentile. Not a lot of guys better than what he was this last year. 237 off-the-bounce jumpers. The next closest is 145, and that's Jarrett Culver. And again, Culver's at 50%. There's 116 for Coby White out of North Carolina. He's in the 27th percentile. 109 for Morant. He is in the 67th percentile. And Edwards is in the 71st percentile. I mean, you've got to figure out whether he can move the ball. I haven't seen him, you know, I don't know. You got to figure out whether or not he can play not being the number one usage guy, because his usage numbers are really big. But of players, there aren't a lot of guys who had as many possessions. Tyler Hero had 110 off the bounce and was in the 82nd percentile and was better. Romeo Langford was 110 and in the 65th percentile. And here you've got Edwards, who's in the 71st percentile with 237. It's really interesting. He's better than everybody else at the things he does. To me, that makes him, from a numbers standpoint, a really interesting prospect. Nicholas Claxton is 6'11", sophomore. I got to admit, I find myself pretty lukewarm on bigs. One, we have one. Two, we're going to have to pay him a lot of money. Three, I can't imagine us ever paying more than $1 million for a backup center once we start paying Rudy. They're easy to find. And three, four of the five positions in the NBA now play with the ball in their hands on almost every roster. So I find myself pretty lukewarm when I look at these 6'11 centers. Nonetheless, with that bias aside, Claxton, 6'11". Transition percentage was the worst of any player I looked at 17%. He did not have a lot of attempts. So he just did not get out and run at Georgia at all. I don't know why. His isolation percentage is good, but just very limited attempts. He had the ball in the pick and roll 33 times and rolled 12 times, so almost none. And his spot up is 85 spot up attempts at 6'11". He was in the 40th percentile, one of the least good shooters in this draft. The worst shooters on spot up in the draft are Cam Reddish, 33 percentile, Nazir Little, North Carolina, Dort out of Arizona State, who we'll touch on in a second, Daniel Gafford out of Arkansas, who's a center, Akpala out of Stanford, 36th percentile. And so we're right in that kind of range here with Claxton at 40th percentile. Those are the only guys that were lower than him. His catch and shoot numbers were 35th percentile. He had 46 of them. The worst catch and shoot guys were Dort out of Arizona State again. Guys under 30. Romeo Langford was at 21%. Nazir Little was at 20th percentile. Not makes, just percentile. Brandon Clark Gonzaga at 30th percentile. Cam Reddish does not come out well in the numbers, by the way. 27th percentile. Jarrett Culver was just a 34th percentile shooter on catch and shoot. And R.J. Barrett was just 41%. So those are the least good shooters available in the draft. Claxton clicks in on that as well. And his off-the-bounce game was 11 of 36. So honestly, Claxton, you're projecting something if you're drafting him that you've seen in a workout, because from what he did at Georgia, there's not a lot to see there. All right, let's take a look at the Florida State. Kevin Galli, I think is how you pronounce it. I'm making these up. Sophomore, 6'9", 71 percentile in transition, 53rd percentile in isolation. Did not play with the ball in his hands. Totally a roll man. His shooting was in the 42nd percentile. His catch and shoot was in the 77th percentile on 42 attempts. And on his just 24 open looks, he was the best open look shooter, but only 24 attempts. And he did not play off the bounce. So not a lot there. Interesting, after doing the look we did at Draymond Green and Pascal Siakam, of whether or not, and I'm doing it right now, you suddenly go back and look at him at all differently and wonder, is he a post-up player? Is he one of these guys that you have to try to project out in a different manner? At 6'9", 250, he took 27% of his possessions as a post-up. So, you know, I have not watched him play at all, but his profile, he wasn't nearly as good as either Siakam or Green out. He's only in the 49th percentile. In his 57 pick and roll possessions, he's in the 85th percentile with the ball in his hands. That's as the pick and roll man. He didn't do much as a handler. There's not a lot there to try to pick apart, but that's the same kind of player. All right, let's continue. We'll look at Dort Schofield, who's kind of peeking out on the numbers, as you figured out by now. Horton Tucker, Gafford, Jerome, who peeks out. Akpala out of Stanford, Fernando out of Maryland, Thibault, and Pascal, who's interesting, low on the charts from Villanova. Those are the final ones we'll look at when we continue today on the program. Homie is revolutionizing the real estate world, and it's an opportunity for you to save equity when you sell a house. It used to be that no matter what you did selling a house, you're giving up 6%. Well, no longer. Now you're just giving up $1,500. You can get the calculator out and start to play with this, and what you'll find out is it doesn't take a lot for you to be saving an awful lot of money. Homie will have its entire team there to support you as well in the process, and it is working quite well. Why do I say that? Because, well, the numbers are showing. They are selling houses faster than the market average, and they're selling them for above the market rate. Find out more by texting Homie at 88588. Text them LOCK, LOCKE, to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. No longer do you have to play the old school game of just giving up a set percentage, and if you've done all the work on your house to make it more valuable, you lose more money. Nope. Homie, flat fee, $1,500 to list your house. Text Homie at 88588 to find out more. Text LOCK to 88588, and Homie will be there to help you out. During the finals and the draft and everything, the Twitter feed, Locked on NBA Net, is pretty cool, by the way. So feel free to go grab that. Locked on NBA Net does some pretty cool things for you. You might want to look at it. It's all of our hosts on a feed of feeds on the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, let's look at Dort out of Arizona State. I don't have his numbers in front of me. He is a 6'4", 215-pounder out of Montreal, Canada. He is in the 57th percentile in transition, 10th percentile of all isolation. By the way, those guys who had actually any isolation possessions, the best, so Zion was in the 86th percentile. There aren't a lot, right? There's just not a lot of isolation. Langford was in the 76th percentile with 49. Grant Williams out of Tennessee, big bruiser, was in the 94th percentile. He might be worth looking at and trying to figure out whether there's something there. He hasn't played with the ball in his hands much. Claxton, who we talked about a moment ago out of Georgia, was had 29 attempts. And then Schofield, who had 50 isolation attempts, is in the 90th percentile. He's just, we'll get to him in a second. It's just incredible. He's next, what comes off the charts. So of the worst isolation players who actually had some isolation opportunities, guys are below 40% with 20 or more is Kevin Porter Jr., PJ Washington, Nazir Little. Alexander Walker, who was really good on a lot of stuff, is not good on isolation, 28. And then Dort in 32 isolation percentage, 10th percentile in the country. So that's one of the lowers. Ty Jerome coming up also. He did use the had 157 pick and roll opportunities. He was in the 66th percentile. So that's pretty good. We just talked a lot about Carson Edwards. He was in the 73rd percentile. Shooting is not good, though. 27th percentile in the spot-up shooting for Schofield. The only guys in spot up that is worse than 27% that we're looking at in this draft, Nazir Little out of North Carolina, Daniel Gafford out of Arkansas, he's 6'11", though, and that's it. So that's not a great number. His catch and shoot number was for Dort is 27th percentile. The only person worse on that is Romeo Langford and Nazir Little again. And are so really Dort, a very poor shooter. Uncontested was okay. He was average at 11-27. Now this gets interesting. His off the bounce game is okay. His jumper off the bounce is in the 85th percentile. It's actually one of the best we've seen out there. The only guy that's better at 87. The guys who are better. Garland out, who in his limited action this year at Vanderbilt was the best in the country. And then 81st percentile for Kevin Porter Jr. out of USC. He can play off the bounce a little bit. So those are, it's kind of an interesting number. Rui Hachimura is in the 87th percentile off the bounce. So interesting to see Dort in the 85th percentile. All right, here's just the one. I know nothing about him. I'm sure there's something, you know, this is probably, I would guess, this happens where you're having a player who peaks out. Now, often they turn out to be players. Andre Roberson was one of these players who peaked out like this. But Admiral Schofield, who played it out of London, he's 22 years old. He's 6'6", 241. All right. Nothing about that says to me that you're ready to be an NBA player. 6'6", 241 just does not exist very often in the NBA. 22 years old coming out of the draft is a really good way to make a mistake. They list him as a guard, and he's 6'6", 241. So he's like Bryant Stith on steroids. All right, I know nothing about him. I've never seen him. I'm going to watch him, and here's why. Transition percentile, 98th percentile out of 55 attempts. He's simply the best guy in the draft in transition. Bruno Fernando out of Maryland is close. He's 6'10". His isolation percentage is in the 90th percentile on 50 attempts. The only guys that are close are Carson Edwards in the 89th percentile. Grant Williams is in the 94th percentile. This is like isolation. You just beating your guy. Kevin Porter, Brandon Clark's in the 86th percentile, but only on 27 attempts. Jarrett Culver's at 77th percentile. And Zion in 50 attempts is in the 86th percentile. And Admiral Schofield is in the 90th percentile. All right. Well, didn't do a lot of other stuff. He had 19 attempts with the ball in his hands, and he had 21 as a role man. That's at least really interesting to me. Once a game, a little less, they're rolling him, and once a game, they're playing him as the pick-and-roll guy. He's better at the pick-and-roll guy. He was okay. Can he shoot? Yes. He's in the 86th percentile of all spot-up shooting. There are guys that are better in this draft that are better than 86, but they are Kobe White. They are Brandon Clark with 46 attempts is all. PJ Washington at Kentucky. That's what he does. What number did I say? 86%. My guy, Alexander Walker's not quite there. Cameron Johnson, North Carolina's knockdown shooters at 93%. Keldon Rui Hachimura is at 93%. Schofield's at 86%. And Ty Jerome is better. Not a lot. in 104 in a lot of spot up opportunities. Catch and shoot, he's in the 67th percentile, 64 of 166. Open shooting was not as good for whatever reason. He's wide open. He didn't make shots. It's a little disconcerting. And then off the bounce, he's in the 67th percentile, 33 of 83. There aren't a lot of other guys who took that many shots off the bounce. This is an incredible statistical profile. 6'6", 241. There's nothing about this that should work. Except for he averaged 17.6 rebounds and 2 assists. All right, so he's old. So that would be my first caution, is that when he was a freshman and sophomore, he wasn't as good or as dominant. He shot it pretty well his sophomore year. But the other thing is, you're drafting at like 23. Now you can start taking the Malcolm Brogdons of the world at 23. I'm really, really intrigued here by the numbers of Admiral Schofield. I know nothing about him. His numbers are stunningly consistent night in and night out. He just sits there around 20 points a game for Tennessee. I think Tennessee had a pretty good year, didn't they? They got to like the Sweet 16, it looks like. I don't know. He had 21-9 in that game. He's jacking about 4 to 6, 7 threes a game. They were 15-3 in SEC. He had 30 against Gonzaga. That's a game worth watching. That's against other NBA players. That's the game I'm going to watch. I know he's good now. Clark had 21. Hashimura had 21. And here's my guy, Admiral Schofield, 12 of 22, 6 boards, 1 assist, 30 points. I know nothing about him. Tennessee won that game. I'll go try to find him against other NBA. Played Purdue. He and Carson Edwards went head-to-head on the final game of the year. Carson Edwards, who kind of just peaked out on numbers, had 29 on that night, 8 of 22. Williams was 9 of 6, or excuse me, Schofield was 7 of 15, 4 of 8 from the line, 3 of 6 from 3. He had 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 21 points. Nothing about that makes sense to me that it really should work, but that's my guy. I know nothing about him. All right, quick run through the final five guys here. Taylen Horton-Tucker, Daniel Gafford, Ty Jerome, KZ Akpala, Bruno Fernando, Matisse Thybulle, and Eric Paschall. Paschall's entry, let me just throw him out there for a second. Average in transition, 58th percentile. Isolation, 70th percentile. One of the few guys that both played with the ball and in their hands as a pick and roll guy. 74 pick and roll chance, 50 rolling. 69 percentile as a spot up shooter on 173 attempts. 82 percentile on catch and shoot unguarded. And he had 74 shots. I like this guy. This is the other kind of numbers guy that I found. Again, you know, sometimes the numbers have to get you. This is maybe where the numbers are valuable. Both these guys don't make sense. 6'7", 254 doesn't make sense. I guess they might have him listed at 6'9". That doesn't make sense. Schofield 6'6", 241 doesn't make sense. Paschall actually was pretty good as a freshman. 16 points and 6 rebounds. And was on these loaded teams. So he actually is pretty interesting. They lost to Purdue also. So I don't know. He looks to me like he kind of matches a little bit. Like he just does a lot of different things to me and might be an interesting player from a numeric standpoint. The other one that is interesting is Ty Jerome, who I believe is in town today. He's in the 99th percentile in shooting, 97th percentile in catch and shoot. He doesn't show any ability of athleticism in isolation. He's okay finishing. He's pretty good with a pick and roll. 67th percentile as a pick and roll guy, but he's the best shooter in the world. He's the best shooter in the draft coming out by a mile. 99th percentile on everything. 72% effective field goal percentage on spot ups. 72% effective field goal percentage on catch and shoot. 83% effective field goal percentage on wide open catch and shoots. He peaks out on those numbers. And that gets pretty exciting. There. Paschall back, by the way, back to him for a second. Did not do the whole Pascal Siakam, Draymond Green post-up thing. He just did. He actually just shot it at 6'7", 250. He just sat out there and shot it. But he's interesting to me. Gafford of Arkansas is just a big guy, 6'11", didn't shoot it at all in his limited opportunity, really seemingly did nothing on the offensive end. Talon Horton Tucker of Iowa State was one of the charted as one of the least good athletes and was an average shooter, pretty good catch and shoot, but below average when off the bounce, well below average, one of the worst off the bounce and open. Akpala out of Stanford looked okay athletically, decent as a pick and roll ball handler, couldn't shoot on the spot ups, but on catch and shoot was pretty darn good, was not good off the bounce. 97% off screens and 89% off percentile of cuts, though, so he may know how to play the game pretty well. Thibault didn't peek out on anything other than some athleticism numbers. Decent catch and shoot, but nothing really else there for the Washington product. All right, that's your numbers breakdown. I guess in summation, the numbers really like, from a draft pick standpoint, they're concerned about Cam Reddish. They're concerned about Nazir Little. They really like DeAndre Hunter and Jarrett Culver in the top. Of the guys around the Jazz, Nickeil Alexander-Walker out of Virginia Tech, Cameron Johnson is just a great, great shooter. Carson Edwards is interesting. Admiral Schofield and Eric Paschal are these off-sized, weird, strange things that might just be terrific, particularly if you think of him as an off-the-bench rotation player. I'll have to watch him. And then Ty Jerome can shoot it like nobody else can. Cameron Johnson and Ty Jerome are just on a completely different level of shooting than anybody else in the draft. Those are the numbers. We'll start watching the players this weekend. Have a great one. Thanks for tuning in.